give God great praise in this place. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Come on, would you give a shout unto the name of Jesus right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, somebody give him high praise. Oh, what kind of church is this?
It's an apostolic church.
Oh, Your hands, stomp your feet, wave your hands, leave the
feel something breaking open in this house. My God, I feel something deep. There's a well springing up right now. Somebody ought to reach down in the depths of your soul. Begin to pull out some old praise. Dust it off. My God, somebody pull out an old dance. You haven't danced in a long time. And dance it before the Lord with all your might. My God, if you'll just do it, it'll break loose in your heart. Somebody step out in faith right there. Somebody step out in faith right there. Somebody step out in faith right there. That's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Lift your voice. Give God great praise. Hey. Somebody clap your hands to Jesus. Oh, come on. Let's give God praise tonight. We're going to do it a little bit different. We don't have somebody to come give the announcements tonight. So by way of announcements, just remember to be faithful in your daily devotion. Remember to be faithful in your prayers. Remember to be faithful in evangelizing. Remember to be faithful in outreach. Be faithful to church and be faithful in your giving. And be back to church next service. Now let's give God great praise and let's have service. Let's have church like we ain't never had before. Come on, some of you so used to a program, you don't know how to put on an ephod and give God praise when you don't even feel like it. My God, my God. I feel like David right now. I feel like David right now. I just want to put on that old ephod and get back an old victory from long ago and begin to shout again. And begin to dance again. My God, my God. We're not going to belabor the point tonight, but if you would lift your voice and give God praise, there is victory in this house. Well, you ought to shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of praise. You go ahead and take up the offering.
Shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of praise.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God for the victory.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We are.
We are.
set free. Shout!
Shout for the victory! Shout!
Oh!
Somebody give him high praise tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can clap your hands as you're seated tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I wonder if one more time, I think it would be appropriate if we could just lift up our hands. If we could thank God for everything that he's done for us. We thank you for the blood that you've shed upon us, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're so good.
I'm living proof what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. Turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. It's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I thought I deserved to be 6 feet beneath the earth. For all the things I've done, the things I've said, choices made that I regret, oh, I would still be lost. But for the mercy of God, now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. Oh, oh, and was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. And was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. And was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. And was the grave meant for me that my sins lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercies of God. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. Oh, oh, oh. So you went the extra mile
your hands. Woo. As they drove the nails in you, when you could have walked away, turned your back to all my sins, but for me you gave. Chose to be my friend. Oh, so you went the extra mile to prove your love was true. It was for me you gave your life. They drove the nails in you when you could have walked away, turned your back on all my sins. For me you gave your life, you chose to be my friend. But for me you gave your life, you chose to be my friend. I wonder if there's anybody that's thankful for the blood of Jesus in this house. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Jesus. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could at this time, we'll take our meet and greet moment at this time. If you would like to step out of the aisle, shake somebody's hand that you've never seen before, tell somebody how beautiful they look. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. If everybody could just begin to make your way back to your seats. As you do, would you lift your voice and just begin to praise God for just a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, would you begin to offer him the fruit of your lips, the sacrifices of thanksgiving in this house? Come on. Give him praise in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. If you could get your Bibles tonight as you're turning to the book of Joel, we're going to be in chapter 2, a little bit in chapter 3 as well. Just want to make mention, as it has not been made mention so far tonight, just keep Pastor and Sister Bray in your prayers as they travel. Pastor had meetings to go to for the church fellowship that we belong to, and so he had obligations to take care of, or he would be here. I promise you, he would much rather be here doing this tonight than be at those meetings. And I'm sure, in fact, I know that I would rather him be here as well. Praise God. But also tonight, kind of doing things a little bit out of order here, but we just want to give a warm welcome to anybody who's here visiting tonight. I believe we have somebody visiting. If you would just give them a warm welcome with a hand clap tonight. Thank you so much for coming tonight, your visitors, our guests. And thankful for everybody who's in the house of God tonight. You know, anytime we have an opportunity to come into the house of God and begin to worship together, there is a value in our praise as we begin to do it as collective, as a collective body. Nobody can praise you for you. But nobody can praise like two people who agree together that we're going to magnify the name of the Lord. The Bible said it just like this: oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. There is nothing like gathering together with the people of God and making up in your mind that tonight I've come to be with the people of God. I've come to see the people of God. It is important to fellowship. But the greatest thing that we could possibly do when we come together is to collectively, as a unified force, begin to praise and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. There is no greater privilege or honor, if you begin to think about it, but then to be able to freely worship and praise the name of Jesus. Come on, there are people in communist nations, this is not my message tonight, who have orders by law. They cannot praise God. They have to gather together in quiet and in secret to begin to lift their voice as much as they can without being arrested, some being baptized in water barrels and being dunked inside of hotel rooms in bathtubs just so they can have what we have. Some people gather together in grass huts and begin to lift up the name of Jesus. They don't have food in their pantry at home. They don't have money. They don't have a car. They probably walk to church for 5 to 10 miles with no shoes, but they come to the house of God and they lift up the name of Jesus. And we come here tonight with a great privilege, just like them, to be able to lift our voices and give God praise. We drove a car. We left our air-conditioned home. We left having had regular meals today. We left our houses having slept on a bed. We left having the conveniences that others don't have. And we have the liberty by law and by the word of God to praise him uninhibited, unrestrained. I believe somebody tonight ought to begin to think of the goodness of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for you. You might find yourself in a place where you don't have everything you want to have, but oh, if you would just begin to magnify him according to his excellent greatness, you would begin to look away from the problems in your life and you would begin to magnify him greater than anything else. I believe it's very important. I'm going to get started here in just a moment. But I believe it's very important that we come to church with the proper perspective and mindset that I deserve to be lost right now. I do not deserve to have so great a salvation. I deserve to be burning right now in a devil's hell, isolated from the presence of God. But I can come freely and I can still worship him. He has washed away my sin. He has made me a brand new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. I believe we would live our lives differently. I believe we would live our lives with a greater respect for the house of God. To know that I really shouldn't be here. I really shouldn't be here. Joel chapter 2, verse number 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." We're going to move to Joel chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible said, "Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. At this time, let's begin to put our Bibles down and begin to seek after the Lord right now. Would you seek after him with all your heart right now? Somebody touch God right now. Somebody touch God in this place. Oh God. Come on, just take a moment. Just touch heaven right now. Would you begin to pray for the rest of this service? Begin to pray for whatever God wants to do. Come on, ask him. Let your will be done. Work in this house, God. Work in my heart. Work in my mind. Work in my spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, give God great praise. Thank him for what he's going to do. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I believe you're going to do great things in this house tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Multitudes, multitudes, the Bible said, in the valley of decision. There is a vulnerability in the valley of decision. In the place where you are undecided, you cannot make up your mind what to do, even in a sense that is not necessarily spiritual, but when you are back and forth between two decisions, somebody can, at that moment in time, just sway you one way or the other because you don't have a certainty about yourself. You don't have this mind that is made to do this or that. Somebody can come in at that time and just speak a word to you that might cause your spirit to agree with whatever they're putting forth. And because you're not in a place where you are sold out or you are determined to do the will of God, it's not that you have decided already that you want to abandon everything and move a different direction, but you are as John would say, a reed shaken in the wind. You are tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The Bible said that a double-minded man, rather, is unstable in all of his ways because there is a vulnerability in the place of indecision. I want to tell you tonight that if you are here tonight and you find yourself in that place, there is a positive note to it that you can be swayed to do that which is right. But you are very vulnerable right now if you find yourself in the place where you don't quite know if you want to live for God or not. You don't quite know if you want to make a full-on commitment to the things of God. Maybe you are here tonight. You are a young person. You don't know quite what you're going to do. You've been raised in church. You've heard messages upon messages. And at a certain point, you never really got a revelation for yourself. You never really got to the place where you decided that no matter what happens, I am going to live for God. You never really finally grasp that I may not understand everything. But what I do know is that I'm going to live for God. You that are new to the house of God, you maybe that have come back to God, you maybe don't know everything that you need to know yet, and nobody does. But one thing that the people of God have in common that are seeking God diligently with all their heart is this, that they have made up in their mind, I am not going to be deterred. I am not going to go to the right hand or to the left hand. I'm not going to deviate off of the path, but I am going to go forward. It may be a minuscule step at a time. It might not be large progress, but it will be progress. I refuse to go back to the world. I refuse to go back to Egypt. I have burned the ships, so to speak, in my mind and in my heart. I am not going back. There is a Red Sea behind me that is closed in. I have made it beyond the point of return, and I will not go back. Some people find themselves in the place where they come to church and they sit on a church pew, but they're not sold out. I didn't say that they weren't perfect. Nobody is, but they're not quite sure that they're going to the fullest of their ability, seek God with everything that they have. I tell you, you're susceptible to cunning words, to the crafty nature of people who know how to influence your emotions, who know how to speak to you in a way. Perhaps they see the bitterness that has begun to take root in your heart. And I'm telling you, at that time, you have become vulnerable. I don't want to be a downer tonight, but I do want to make you aware in this house of the battle that is going on. Maybe you are not thinking of it this way, but let me help you if I can. let me help all of us tonight if I can, that we are in a war. This is not a game. This is not just a matter of somebody being melodramatic behind a desk and preaching to receive a response. But this is a battle for the soul tonight, and every service and every day. It don't even have to be at church. When you wake up in the morning to when you go to bed at night, and until the day of the Lord should come, you and I are in a battle whether you want to be or not. You didn't ask for it, and you cannot remove yourself. You didn't ask for it, but you cannot get out of it. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. I'm telling you tonight, I want to preach this into your spirit. You don't have an opportunity, and I don't have an opportunity to take a position of neutrality here tonight, but you will spend eternity in heaven, or you will spend eternity in hell. That's just the only way that it is. Neutrality is not an option. It is a decision in and of itself. The prophet Elijah was in a place where the kingdom of Israel had been overtaken by idolatry. False gods had been lifted up in place of the one true God. There were many prophets, I believe 800 in number, of those false gods. And a queen who would kill anybody who would preach the message of truth. The people had lost their heart. Many of them had just gone by way of those false gods. But on Mount Carmel, on that fateful day when a showdown was to take place between Elijah and the people there that day that were serving those false gods, Elijah made this statement, and he asked this question, rather. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" He said, "If Baal be God, follow him. But if God is God, you've got to make a decision today." What he was doing was he was taking the neutrality out of the picture in their minds. He said, "We've come to a point. We have come to a head today. And today is a day that you can no longer hang back and just decide, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I want to serve. Maybe I'm in fear today of a queen who I know has the power and has the ability and will kill me if I make the wrong stance or choice." What a preacher does when he steps to the pulpit is he empowers you to make a choice and to make a decision. He confronts you today, if I may, with the options that you have, and to tell you the options you do not have. I know the devil wants to lie to some here tonight and tell you you have all kinds of time to make a decision. You have all kinds of time to do what you need to do, but you do not know, and I do not know, when our day of judgment will arrive. You and I do not know the time that the Lord will come to divide the wheat from the chaff. It may be on that day that it's everybody's time, but it also might be that it's yours or it's mine. One would say they already made their choice. They were living in this day of false prophets. According to even Elijah, he said, "Nobody's serving God except me." But his question would denote otherwise. Because he said that you halted between two opinions. You have stopped You have quit making any kind of progress. You are just standing still. But I began to look up that word tonight to find its deeper meaning. And I was surprised to find that it actually does not just mean to stop. But what it actually means is to be crippled or to be maimed in between two decisions. What does that mean tonight? What that means is you're not making any progress. You're wasting time. And you have handicapped your walk with God to nothing, to no movement. You can't outreach. You can't evangelize because you don't even believe that it's true. You can't go tell somebody about what you believe because you really don't believe it. You have crippled yourself in between two places. You don't have the ability to walk forward like you need to. Come on, people of God. You don't have the ability to grow like you need to. You've become stagnant. You've become where you cannot move. I begin to look it up just tonight on what it would happen to somebody who just decided, I'm not going to get out of bed for a long period of time. Maybe there was some sort of tragedy that befell you, but you decided, I'm not going to get out of bed. I'm not going to exercise. There's pain in that world, and there's people who do this. They just don't want to leave their home. They just don't want to go anywhere because maybe they've come into depression or some kind of other thing. But I began to look it up tonight, and just briefly, and what I found was that if you stay put and if you stay in that place of no movement and you stay in that place of halt, if you will, it said that your muscles would begin to deteriorate and that you would have bone loss. Your bones would begin to deteriorate. Your joints would begin to stiffen up and seize. Your blood flow would begin to be restricted. Swelling would then begin to take place and your blood pressure would begin to fall when you start to try to move. Your lungs would begin to be shallow. You could have a risk for diseases to begin to get you more than you would be if you were active and you were moving. What I'm trying to tell you is this. It is dangerous to be in the place of indecision. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is you cannot halt between those opinions because you are susceptible to disease and sin. You are susceptible to the things of this world. You are susceptible to being brought down to a place that you did not even intend to go because you would not move in any direction. Your skin begins to produce ulcers. Bed sores begin to come out. And then your mental health finally begins to take a dip. And at that point, you don't even have the ability to climb out of that pit that you're in. Now you have become in a vicious cycle. I wish tonight that I could stir somebody. I wish tonight that I could grip a hold of your heart tonight and tell you that you don't have time to live in indecision. You say, well, you're going to move on to something else. No, I want you to get the point here tonight. I want you to understand the kind of place we are in. It doesn't have a thing to do with the building that you attend to go to church. It doesn't have a thing to do with the place that we find ourselves in the physical. In fact, if that's all you're worried about, that's your problem. You're not looking at this thing with the right perspective. I've come to tell you tonight in love that it's not time to waver about between these two worlds. But tonight, somebody needs to make a decision. Tonight, somebody needs to get something in your gut that says, I will live for God. I do not have to be perfect, and I do not have to know everything, but I will live for God. I've come to beg you if I can tonight. I've come to plead with you tonight if I can. We do not know when the day of the Lord will come. You could be standing right on the edge of it right now and not know it, because nobody knows the day and nobody knows the hour. But I'm afraid that this world wants to rock you to sleep in that valley of indecision. I'm afraid the devil would love nothing more than to distract us with a busy life. Our phones are so full of information. We spend so much time taking in all this information. We don't even have room enough to receive sometimes the Word of God because we're so bombarded. We want to build a career. We want to have all of these things. And there's nothing wrong with them if they're put in the proper perspective and in the proper order. But I'm afraid tonight that people get so far into those things and it consumes your mind so much that you don't even consider the fact that if you were to die tonight, where would you spend the rest of eternity?